I'm going to begin reading at verse number 14. I have several select verses within that chapter that I'll be reading. And I would recommend that you keep your Bible handy, because we'll be looking back at some of the verses in the message as we progress. Now today, as you've noticed in your church paper, we are emphasizing the power and the prominence of the Word of God. My message this morning is entitled, A Revival of the Word of God. The message tonight, listening to the Word of God. I will not make any comment, any introduction. It'll be strictly a recitation of the Scriptures. I cannot tell you the joy I've had this week in refreshing my mind in the many, many passages of Scripture that God has given me to memorize. Now, I want you to understand, I won't quote all that I know tonight. We'll save some of it for later. But I do have a select number of passages that I believe God would have me to share with you tonight at 6 o'clock. It'll be the most unusual message I think you've ever heard. Now, in honor of the reading of God's Word this morning, I ask you to stand with me as we share together in prayer, and then in 2 Chronicles chapter 34, I shall begin reading at verse number 14. Let us pray. In Chronicles chapter 34, I begin reading at verse number 14. And when they had brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found a book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. And Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan. And Shaphan carried the book to the king and brought the king word back again, saying, all that was committed to thy servants, they do it. They have gathered together the money that was found in the house of the Lord, and have delivered it into the hand of the overseers and to the hand of the workmen. Then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah and Ahikam the son of Shaphan and Abdon the son of Micah and Shaphan the scribe and Asaiah a servant of the king's, saying, go, inquire of the Lord for me and for them that are left in Israel and in Judah concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us because the fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do after all that is written in this book. Now go down with me to verse 29. Then the king sent and gathered together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the priests, and the Levites, and all the people, great and small. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant that was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and with all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant which are written in this book. And he caused all that were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin to stand to it. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. Then Josiah took away all the abominations out of the countries that pertained to the children of Israel, and made all that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God. And all his days they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. Thank you, and you may be seated. What a marvelous reading of the Scriptures, the Word of God, that tells us so much about what we need to know concerning the book of the law of God. Now, the book of the law of God was expressly the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, commonly called the book of Moses. Again and again, our Lord Jesus referred back to the book of Moses. Have ye not read, he said, have ye not read in the book of Moses? Jesus said in John chapter 5, search the Scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. So the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen, bears the image of Jesus Christ. The Word of God is a book of blood. From page one to the last page, there's a scarlet ribbon. The blood of Christ is on every page. The handprint of God is on every chapter, in every verse, in every line. Let it be known, ladies and gentlemen, that we believe the Bible is the inspired, infallible, inerrant, impeccable, indestructible, powerful, precious, perfect, pure Word of God. That's where Worth Baptist Church has stood for 41 years. The motto in our Sunday school, teaching the whole Bible to the whole family to enlighten to the whole Sunday school to enlighten the whole family to the whole truth. There is no substitute for the Bible this morning. Baptists and Bibles go together. We are bonded. We are bequeathed. We are betrothed to the Bible. If the Bible be taken away, we have no foundation. I saw, as probably some of you did, and I want to tell you now, I don't watch television much because there's not much on there to watch. Most of it is homosexuality and filth and sex and violence and crime that's promoting all of those in our world today. But when I heard that the ABC was going to put on the program In the Name of God, that struck a note of interest. And I was so sick when I got through that I wanted to throw up. Now, you may not agree with that assessment, but if you don't, you're wrong. You see, what's happening all over America, and by the way, some of our independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist churches are following in that same train today. They're trying to imitate Heibel in Chicago. And Heibel doesn't know enough about the Word of God. You could get it in a thimble. He's got a charismatic personality. They're bringing in the dances, as I talked to you about last Sunday. They're bringing in the liturgical dances, the drama, and substitute everything for the Word of God. But I want you to understand this morning, there is no substitute for the Word of God. They say, well, we're getting the crowds. Well, so is the circus. And so are the honky-tonks. And so is Billy Bob's. But that doesn't make it right, does it? Just because they get a crowd together and everybody throws their hands up and they laugh out loud. Did you ever see such a mess in your... How many of you saw that program? Well, good, you didn't need to see it. Some of you might start following that. Because you see, the devil is sly. The devil can get you to believe something that is contrary to the Word of God. And I'm come to tell you today, there's no substitute for the old-fashioned preaching of the Word of God. That's where we are. Now, all the world may go a different direction, but Worth Baptist Church is going where we've been going for 41 years. I know you're going to say, but now, Pastor, don't we need... No, listen, let's don't get caught up in methods that we poison the message. I'm not against new methods if they're in keeping with the Scripture, but I am against anything, I repeat, I am against anything that is substituted for the Word of God. If it's music, I'm against it. If it's poetry, I'm against it. If it's drama, I'm against it. If it's dancing, I'm against it. I'm against anything that's contrary to God's method of converting souls and getting people saved. You're going to live long enough to see that your preacher was right. 5 years from now, 10 years from now, when your children don't know anything about the Word of God, if they get out of the confines of where it's being preached and taught, and you'll wonder, what's happened? We don't know what's wrong in America. We've taken the Bible out of the schools. Now, we can put condoms in, but we can't put the commandments in. Isn't that sad? Did you ever think that you would live to see a day when such would be going on? Our government, our education, society, it's sick, ladies and gentlemen. And the only cure is the Word of God. I must emphasize to you the importance of taking your family and reading to them the Word of God, giving them the truth of the Scripture, because there's no book like the book of God. Now, by way of introduction, I want to share with you five quick things. This is introduction about the appraisal of the Word of God. First, let's consider its accuracy. Psalm 119, verse 160. Thy word is true from the beginning, as sure as night follows day and day follows night, God still lives and the Bible is right. Let's consider its authenticity. 2 Peter 1:19. Now listen to this. They had heard, the disciples heard actually the voice of God with their own ears. They heard the excellent voice from glory that said, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye him." And Peter takes pen in hand and writes in 2 Peter 1:19, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy." Are you listening to me? The written word of God, Peter says, is exalted above the voice of God that came out of heaven. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Let's consider the authority. John 5:39. I quoted it a moment ago. Search the Scriptures, for in them, the Old Testament, particularly the books of Moses, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Jesus said, if you believe Moses, you'd believe me, because Moses wrote about me. If you believe the first five books of the Bible, Jesus said to these people, you'd believe me, because they're all written about me. Let's consider the availability. 2 Timothy 2:9, Paul wrote, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, that is unto imprisonment. But watch this. But the Word of God is not bound. You can't bind the Word of God. By the way, you really don't have to defend it. It's like a lion. Just turn it loose. It's not bound this morning. Men have denied it. Men have scoffed it. Men have made fun of it. Men have substituted for it. Men have tried to pervert it. But it's still true. It's still accurate. It's still authoritative. It is still available. What about the acceptability? Acts 2:41. Then they that gladly received his word. They that gladly received his word. Can you imagine the consequences of being without the Bible? Now, I'll be honest with you. You could go into a lot of churches today, take the Bibles out, they go right on with their program tonight. They go right on with their program next Sunday. They go right on with their program next month. If we lose the Bible, ladies and gentlemen, we lose the knowledge of the true God. Where do we get our information about God? Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. I want you to know we don't make any apology for believing the Genesis account of creation. I don't understand how they let all these other theories and ideas and religious proponents get into their school, our school system and do all of their thing, and yet they don't want the Bible in there. In the beginning, God. Moses went to a school. This is really not new. Moses went to a school like that. University of Egypt. Classroom on history of religion. Professor. Well, students, I want to talk to you today about how the world came into existence. Once upon a time, There was this huge cosmic egg. And this huge cosmic egg was floating out in space. And those young students are so gullible, they're just sitting there ready to eat it all up. Just like they're poisoning the minds of a lot of our students today in the universities and colleges of America. And this huge cosmic egg was floating around in space, and one day the temperature reached a certain degree and the egg hatched open and out jumped creation. Students are writing all this now. Would you repeat that? Yes. This big egg was flying out there one day and it cracked open and creation just popped out. One hand went up. Moses, teacher recognizes you. Sir, by the way, be respectful to your teachers. Sir, I want to ask you a question. Where did the egg come from? It's time for the bell. We'll see y'all tomorrow. So when Moses sat down to write the book of Genesis, he wrote, in the beginning was a huge cosmic... Oh, no. In the beginning, God. If you don't believe that, you don't believe anything this morning. I don't care how many degrees you have, how many theological schools you've attended, how many colleges you've graduated. If you don't believe in the beginning, God, you're in trouble this morning. Now, it is this blessed book, ladies and gentlemen, that tells us who God is. Tells us where God is. Tells us what God is doing. Tells us what God has done. Tells us what God's going to do. It also tells us who we are. Hello. Tells us where we came from. Now, if you want to believe you sprang from a monkey, go ahead and believe it, but apologize to the monkey. Tells us who we are. Tells us where we came from. Tells us how we got here. Tells us why we're here. Tells us where we're going, and tells us how to get there. It's a divine yellow pages, tells us who, tells us what, tells us where, tells us when, tells us how, tells us why, answers all of our questions in this blessed book. If we lose the Bible, not only do we lose the knowledge of where God came from, but we lose the wisdom that leads us to salvation. Remember what Paul said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the psychologist. Oh no. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Listen, listen, listen to the word of God. Paul said to young Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Let me stop right there for one moment. I want to congratulate all you parents that are bringing your children to Sunday school and to Awana on Wednesday night so that they can be taught. Because that's the only thing that's going to make them wise unto salvation. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures that are able to make thee wise unto salvation. You want to know how to get saved? Word of God tells you. You want to know how to live? Word of God tells you. You want to know how to die? Yea, though I walk through the valley, look in the Word of God. If we lose the Bible, we lose our civil liberty and personal freedom. Jesus said in his high priestly mediatorial intercessory prayer, recorded in John 17 and verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. Then he said in John 8:32, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Freedom. You know why we are free people today? Word of God. Gospel. Truth. God's infallible, inspired, inerrant word. I remember when I left home about 45 years ago, my daddy placed a Bible in my hand and said, son, read a portion of this book every day. My Bible and I, we've traveled together, my Bible and I, through all kinds of weather, with smile or with sigh, in sorrow or sunshine, in tempest or calm, thy friendship unchanging, my lamp and my psalm. We've traveled together, my Bible and I. when life had grown weary and even death was nigh. But all through the darkness of mist or of wrong, I found thee a solace, a prayer, or a song. So now, who shall part us, my Bible and I? Shall isms or schisms or new lights who try? Shall shadow for substance or stone for good bread supplant thy sound wisdom, give folly instead? Oh, no, my dear Bible, exponent of light, thou sword of the Spirit, put error to flight. And still through life's journey, until my last sigh, we'll travel together, my Bible. I have the Bible that my daddy gave me in 1950 when I left home. I have the Bible that my Sunday school teacher gave me when I was in the what they used to call the intermediate department. I remember the first Bible I ever had, a little zipper Bible. Oh, I thought that's a great thing. Well, put a zipper on the Bible. I thought zippers went on clothes. They put a zipper on the Bible. I thought that had all these beautiful pictures of Jesus and Moses and Daniel in the lions. Get back to it, children. Get back to it, parents. Get back to it. Don't substitute the books of psychology and the books of education and the books of science and the books of learning for the book of books. There's no book like it in all the world. I have a statement of my own conviction on the Holy Scriptures. I want to read it. What is needed in the mid-90s is a revival of the Word of God, a renewal of our faith in the inerrancy of the Holy Scriptures, a return to the basic tenets of the Bible, a rebirth of biblical preaching, a reaffirmation of our determination to preach the Word as it is to men as they are, which will result in a spiritual revolution that will revitalize our Christian faith. We need, in this century, in this decade, a return, a revival of the Word of God. I share with you first now, in the body of my message, the Word of God discovered. And I want you to remember this. It was not until after the house of God was repaired and the budget of the house of God was met that the Word of God was discovered. Now remember, for several hundred years, they'd lost the Bible. For several hundred years, they had no copy of the law of Moses. They had no book of the covenant of God. But I want you to look at verse number 8 in this same chapter, 2 Chronicles chapter 34 and verse 8. I said it was not until after the house of God had been repaired and the budget had been met that they discovered the Word of God. Look at verse 8. Now in the 18th year of his reign, that is the reign of good King Josiah, who brought about many reforms in the people of God, the nation of Israel and Judah. Now in the 18th year of his reign, when he had watched this purge the land and the house, remember, he purged out all of the idols. He took out all the pagan gods. He sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, and Messiah, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Joahaz, the recorder, watch this, to repair the house of the Lord his God. Now, look at 14 and 15 that I already read you. When they brought out the money, when they met the budget, when they repaired the house, what happened? They found a book of the law of the Lord. Doesn't that say something to us today? Discovering anew and afresh. Underneath the rubbish of our scientific ideas and our philosophical pronouncements, the bedrock foundation, ladies and gentlemen, is this book, the Word of God. The Bible is the greatest discovery you can make. It is more precious than fine gold. It is more powerful than the forces of man and nature combined. It is more piercing than a sword with two edges. It is more satisfying than honey from out of the honeycomb. It is more aromatic than the perfumes of Arabia. It is more scintillating than the stars of the heaven. It is more magnificent than the sun at noonday. It is not the book of the week or the book of the month or the book of the year or the book of the decade or the book of the century or the book of the millennium. It is the book of the ages. You see, the books of men are dated and then become outdated. They're placed in library shelves and then they're replaced by other books. They appear and they disappear. They become obsolete while the Bible remains absolute. Word of God, book of God. Sir Walter Scott put it this way in his little poem that I've quoted to you many, many times, but it seems so fitting this morning. Within this ample volume lies the mystery of mystery. Happy is they of human race to whom their God hath given grace to read, to fear, to hope, to pray, to lift the latch, to force the way. But better had they never been born that read to doubt or read to scorn. You know those professors and those preachers out there with the collar turned around backwards and long robes on that are denying the Word of God, it'd been better for them never to have been born than to deny or scorn the Word of God. You're looking for the answers today, aren't you? Why'd you come to church this morning? You didn't come to be entertained, because I'm not an entertainer. I know I'm funny, but looks don't mean everything. You didn't come to be made to feel good. Here we are, Pastor, make us feel good. Whoever said you had to feel good? Unless it's the Holy Spirit working in your heart, you're not going to feel good. Oh, I can tickle your flesh and I can tell you a few funny stories and give you some great pronouncements and you go out and say, my, what a smart man our pastor is. And then you go home and forget all I've said. Why'd you come this morning? Men are searching for answers. The problem is, they're searching in the wrong place. John Greenleaf Whittier put it this way: we search the world for truth. We call the good, the true, the beautiful from graven stone and written scroll and all old flower fields of the soul and weary seekers of the best. We come home laden from our quest to find that all the sages said is in the book our mothers read. Somebody asked me, why are you in the ministry? Did you choose this as a profession, not on your life? I'll tell you why. When I was 2 years old, less than 2 years old, my mother, my biological mother, my own mother, went out to meet God, 29 years old, literally 29 years old, mother of six children. I was the baby. The reason I'm preaching today is because mother died with a prayer on her lips. Dear God, make my sons preachers. I'm not here just because I one day woke up and said, well, I think I want to be a preacher. Listen, the reason there's so many ministerial dropouts is because there have been so many ministerial drop-ins. Somebody opened the door and they just dropped in. No calling, no conviction, no courage. You know the average preacher in America today is afraid he's going to offend his people. He walks on eggs all the time. I don't want to say anything to offend anybody. I want to tell you, if you get offended by what the book of God says, you ought to be offended. And if you don't get offended, there's something wrong with me. If you need to be offended, if your life is full of sin, if you have doubts, if you have sins, if you're thinking the wrong way, going the wrong places, doing the wrong things, if I can't take the word of God and offend you, I've got a problem. You're offended enough, you'll fall on your face before God and cry out for mercy and forgiveness and get your life right with God. I'm glad that we don't have any headquarters to tell us what we got to preach and send us down our literature. My daddy came out of that 50 years ago. Hello. Yeah, he did. Sent all the quarterlies down, you know, we're supposed to go by this quarterly and that quarterly. My daddy said, no. He came out here to Fort Worth and heard Frank Norris preach. He went back home, burned all the quarterlies and took the Bible and put it in the Sunday school and said, this is what we're going to teach and this is what we're going to preach. And I'm just a chip off the old block. I'm doing the same thing. And next time you hear from me, I'll be doing the same thing. And I'll never apologize for teaching and preaching the Word of God. For this is the book of all books. And sadly enough, it's collecting dust. Some people wouldn't know where to go when the insurance man knocks on the door if they didn't have a Bible to put their insurance books in. They got all of the collector's items and all the everything, but couldn't read it if they wanted to. I'm saying to you, just because there's dust on the outside doesn't mean it's dry on the inside. I'm like the little girl who said it's like eating an orange. The more I squeeze it, the more juice I get out of it. Try squeezing it. Get the new look from the old book. Get the new look from the Bible. The inward look, the outward look, the upward look. Get the new look from the old book. By the way, it's the number one bestseller. It's already ahead of the next one off the press. Word of God. Number two now, the Word of God, not only the Word of God discovered, but the Word of God declared. In verses 18 and 19, let's go back to that to those verses for just a moment. Shaphan the scribe told the king, and what did he do? He read it before the king. And when the king heard the words of the law, he tore his clothes. He rent his clothes. You know, the reading of the Word of God ought to have some effect on us. I mean, after all, this is God's Word. This isn't the Word of man. This isn't the Word of the priest or the pope or the preacher or the pastor. This is the Word of God. A Bible unread is a Bible unheeded. Word of God must be declared. I submit to you that the Bible does not need to be rewritten. It needs to be reread. Here's a good formula. Read it through. Take it in. Work it out. Write it down. And pass it on. Ladies and gentlemen, we must declare the Word of God. We must declare it uncompromisingly, unconditionally, unceasingly, unashamedly, unapologetically, unhesitatingly. We must declare the Word of God fervently. I believe it was Mr. Lincoln who said when he went to hear a preacher, he wanted to go hear somebody that looked like he's fighting bumblebees. I talked to a businessman the other day, and he said, "Now, I'm just going to be honest with you. I just almost had to quit going to my church because my pastor just got up in this little quiet voice and he just talked about like this, and I went to sleep," he said, "every time I went." So I said, "Come to Worth Baptist Church. You will not go to sleep. One thing we can do is keep you awake. May not help you much, but we keep you awake." Declare it fervently. Declare it forcefully. Declare it faithfully, powerfully, prolifically, profoundly. Or you see, a Bible in the hand is worth a dozen in the trunk. Word of God declared. Number three, the Word of God disobeyed. Now here's the tragedy of it. I want to read you these verses again. Look at verses 20 and 21. The king commanded Hilkiah, Ahiakim the son of Shaphan, and Abdon the son of Micaiah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Asaiah, a servant of the king, saying, "Listen, go inquire of the Lord for me and for them that are left in Israel and in Judah concerning the words of the book that is found." Now watch this, don't miss it. "For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us." Why? "Because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do after all that is written in this book." The wrath of God is upon us because we have not obeyed. Our fathers didn't obey. Now please don't miss this. What is the next generation going to have if you and I don't hand them the Bible? If we close the Bible, if we quit teaching and preaching the Word of God, your grandchildren, listen to me, your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, when the wrath of God falls on them, they're going to say, our fathers, talking about you and me, disobeyed the word of God. And God visits the iniquities of fathers upon the second and third generation, so his Bible says. So you better be careful. If you don't want your grandchildren to suffer the wrath of God, you better keep the word of God in your heart, in your home, in your life, in your church, in your business, in your mind. The reason that revival had not come was because the people of God had flagrantly disobeyed the word of God. The reason that God's wrath fell was because God's word had been disobeyed. And so it is today. How can America escape the judgment of Almighty God? I said a while ago, the Bible's been barred from the classroom. They can put up the condoms and distribute them to the children, but they can't put up the commandments. Psalm 9:17 says, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and every nation that forgets God. Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. That means America. That means you. That means us. Word of God discovered. Word of God declared. Word of God disobeyed. Now the word of God disseminated. Call your attention again to verses 29 through 33. The king sent and gathered, and I'm going to paraphrase for time's sake. He read in their ears, the last part of verse 30 says, all the words of the book of the covenant that was found in the house of the Lord. And they, look at the middle of verse 31, all his soul, all his heart, performed the words of the covenant which are written. Took away, verse 33 says, all the abominations. All his days they departed not from following the Lord, the last part of verse 33 says, the God of their fathers. The word of God must be disseminated. The preaching of God's word is the divine prescription for the propagation of the truth. Paul said to young Timothy, 2 Timothy 4:1, I charge thee therefore. I charge thee before the Lord, before God, and before the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead at his coming and his appearing. Preach the word. Now, ladies and gentlemen, churches can depart from that and gather their crowds in and dress in the way they want to dress and act in the way they want to act, but Worth Baptist Church is going to have some principles and some standards and some separation and a declaration of the Word of God. That's where it is. That's where it's going to be. That's the only answer. Now, I know you're saying, but now, Pastor, you're a little bit old-fashioned. I certainly am. Thanks for accusing me. I plead guilty because I know this is what works. I read about a preacher went into a home and the dear old lady handed him her Bible, and here's a verse he looked at and had T and P by it. He thought at first her husband was T and P Railroad Man. T and P. He turned to another, T and P. Turned to another, T and P. Turned to another one, T and P. And he said, now, I don't understand. What does this T and P mean? She said it means tried and proven. And I want to tell you, I'm holding in my hand this morning a book that's tried and proven. Dr. Spock hasn't been proven yet. He's been tried but not proven. All your psychology books and psychiatry books and philosophy books, they're good in their place, but then this is the number one book. This is the book of God. This is the book of Worth Baptist Church. This is the book of your life and mine. And there are no, beware of the substitutes. They look good, they sound good, they appear good, but they're not good. To preach the word is to preach Christ. To preach Christ is to preach the cross. And Paul says, by the foolishness of preaching, God saves men. Now I want to give you an alphabetical tribute of the Word of God that God gave me some time ago. From A to Z, listen, A, the Bible is accurate in its assessments and absolute in its authority. B, the Bible is binding in its precepts and beautiful in its pronouncements. The Bible is confrontational in its style and comforting in its security. The Bible is direct in its approach and demanding in its acceptance. E, The Bible is edifying in its message and educational in its method. F. The Bible is faithful in its resolve and fruitful in its results. G. The Bible is great in its power and good in its purpose. H. The Bible is high in its royalty and holy in its reasoning. I. The Bible is inspired in its doctrine and infinite in its duration. J. The Bible is joyful in its music and just in its mandates. K. The Bible is keen in its calculation and kosher in its content. L. The Bible is loud in its accent and lovely in its arrangement. M. The Bible is magnificent in its beauty and marvelous in its bounty. N. The Bible is noble in its claims and numinous in its character. O. The Bible is opulent in its value and optimum in its victory. P. The Bible is powerful in its testimony and proficient in its teaching. Q. The Bible is questionless in its veracity and qualitative in its veneration. R. The Bible is rational in its judgment and righteous in its jurisdiction. S. The Bible is sacred in its authorship and satisfying in its application. T. The Bible is transcendent in its glory and timeless in its government. U. The Bible is universal in its scope and unique in its sanctions. V. The Bible is vibrant in its animation and victorious in its accomplishments. W. The Bible is wise in its alignment and worthy in its appraisal. Y. The Bible is yeomanly in its acumen and youthful in its actions. Z. The Bible is zealous in its vision and zestful in its vibrancy. Somebody's asking about X. It's everything else that you need it to be. The unknown quality of your life. You don't know all of your needs this morning. Listen to me. You don't know all of your burdens. You don't know all of your problems. You don't know all of your difficulties. You don't know all of your trials. You don't know all of your heartaches. But I can guarantee you one thing. The Bible is the answer to all of it. I invite you today to make God's Word the number one book in your life. Make a commitment today to read a portion of God's Word every day. There are two things that will revolutionize your life. Number one, read the Bible. And number two, pray. Read the Bible, pray. It'll revolutionize your life. It'll revolutionize this church. It'll revolutionize our nation. I gave it to you a few weeks ago, but I'm going to give it to you again. The breakfast table the other morning, I darted away from the table, grabbed a piece of paper because God put something in my heart and I called it, bring back the Bible. Bring back the Bible. O ye sons of men, bring back the Bible and begin again. Bring back the Bible. Shout it far and wide. Bring back the Bible and wait for the tide. Bring back the Bible. Let it be heard. Bring back the Bible, God's holy word. Let's stand, please, for our prayer. While every head is bowed, let me say right up front, if you need an altar, don't wait till we sing or don't wait till we pray. Just step out of your seat and come on. Some of you need Jesus this morning. He's the best friend you ever had. He's the best friend you ever had. This is the most important time of the service. Please, let's be reverent this morning. If you need an altar, come on down. I want to tell you, you need the altar more than you need lubies. More than you need Sunday dinner. I read to you last week, I was lost, but you were in a hurry. Remember that? Don't be in a hurry this morning. Let God do